I think it's fair to say nobody wanted France as the second seed.
France.
Well, they got that boy Mbappe over there in France. He ain't no joke.
Bobby Brady against Hugo Lloris. Arden lead in Lyon.
Netherlands.
And a little cross in there, and it's come through here. Back at here. Amsterdam revisited.
Greece.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
I don't think we should be talking doom and gloom. We should be saying, hey, what great places to be going to play football.
There's only 8 games. In order to finish in the top 2, we have to achieve something extraordinary. And that has to be our ambition to do that.
Gibraltar.
Yeah!
So next week, the Republic of Ireland travel to Athens to take on Greece in a crucial Euro 2024 qualifier. And I'm delighted to be joined by Stephen Kunturu, who is a Greek football correspondent. Stephen runs the excellent TELUS football podcast covering all things Greek football. Stephen, how are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you, man. Thank you for having me on. I'm not the only host, but of the TELUS football podcast. But yeah, I've been given the opportunity to host it more this season. So it's been a good laugh. It's been good fun to cover Greek football.
Yeah, well, I can vouch for it, having listened to some of the episodes recently. It's very good, and it's well worth a listen if you're interested in Greek football.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, no worries. And speaking of Greek football, there has been some big for one particular Greek individual in the past few days, which is Ange Postecoglou, who has taken over at Tottenham. He left Celtic. I know there's a lot of Celtic fans who will listen to this who will be disappointed he's left, but in fairness to him, he's left them in a better state than he found them. I don't think anybody can argue with that. But your own thoughts on this, Stephen? I know you're familiar with Ange Postecoglou. Obviously, he's Greek-born. A lot of people would say, maybe incorrectly, he's Australian. But while he did grow up there, he's very much Greek-born and has a strong Greek heritage. So what are your thoughts on his appointment at Tottenham and how he'll do there?
Well, it's a massive, massive opportunity for him. And I'm thrilled for Postecoglou to go there because the Premier League has ever had. It's certainly the first Australian manager from what I've been reading, but I think it is also the first Greek manager as well, unless I'm very much mistaken. And
I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
No. And Greece are not blessed with top level managers. There's a couple who are decent, but they haven't gone down the path in which they had been initially hoped. I'm talking about like Yorgos Donis, who was manager of Panathinaikos a few years ago, but rather than pushing on from there, he's managed in the Middle East, he's managed in Israel, which, you know, isn't, no disrespect to those leagues and those countries, but we'd have hoped more for him considering he was one of the top Greek managers who has stayed in Greece and is also natively from Greece. So yeah, to have Ange manager for Tottenham is huge, and I'm going to follow him with eagerness. And I said to I even tweeted about this. My dad is a long-time Tottenham fan from a very young age, and I said to him a couple months ago when Conte left that if they were to get anyone in who could do a good job with Spurs, it would be Ange Postecoglou. So I hope I'm proven right, and I hope that he's given the opportunity by the fans and by the club as well to succeed, because more high-level managers than him haven't been given that opportunity, and so they need to now give Postecoglou that opportunity to prove himself and take Spurs on to the next level, because they're in a huge mess at the moment.
Yeah, I suppose my concern would just be whether he gets that time as well. I know he's had slow starts at other clubs. At Celtic, he kind of started slowly, but they gave him that time, and you can see how that turned out. And I know from my time in Australia that he started slowly at Melbourne Victory and Brisbane Roar, but again turned it around. So from a selfish point of view, I obviously was familiar with him from when he was in Australia, and I've kind of watched him since then. I was there when they won the Asian Cup in 2015, and I think he's an excellent coach. I think he'll do very well. I suppose from your own point of view, you're very much probably looking forward to a day where he may be a success at Tottenham and then decide to take a step into international management and look at the Greek team. He's ticked Australia off the list already, but in terms of the Greek management at the moment, I suppose there's maybe some people listening to this who aren't aware that the very familiar Gus Poyet is the manager of the Greece national team at the moment. So he's been there, around 18 months, I think, at this stage. So what are the impressions of him so far?
So the initial impressions, for the most part, are positive. Up till very recently. I'll get into that in a bit. But up till recently, generally, he's been well-received by a lot of fans in Greece and outside, because he took Greece to the top of their Nations League group in Group C. And Greece were promoted to Group B, which is huge for the national team, mm-hmm. because they were languishing in Group C for a while. And for, and with their previous manager, with the previous manager, John van Schip, who's a Dutch coach, for no one is familiar.
Also ex-Melbourne City. As
yes.
Well.
So again, yeah, oh, yes, connection. He did manage in Australia as well, actually.
Yeah.
He couldn't quite get Greece out of groups that they probably, not probably just should have, definitely should have, topped and underperformed massively against teams like Kosovo, who are nothing to sniff at, but they Greece should be beating those kind of teams home and away, and they weren't doing that. And so Poyet came in, played a much nicer style than his previous than his predecessors, and we have been promoted, and because of that, no matter what happens in our Euro 2024 qualifiers, we are guaranteed a playoff semi-final. But I, as I said to you before over on Twitter, that we can't rest on that. There's no way we should rest on that. We have to try and get top two in this group, despite the fact it's very difficult. But yeah, generally the reception with Poyet is positive up till recently with the selections for the national team. A couple of omissions have been questioned by a lot of people, myself included.
Mm. Yeah, so I mean, he's only had, I think, one defeat in the Nations League, which I think at that point Greece had already guaranteed top spot when they lost to Cyprus. But he seems to have done very well generally. I mean, they easily won that Nations League group. They'll be playing in Group B, League B, sorry, next time around. So we could actually be drawn in the same group in that as well. In terms of the squad itself, you kind of touched on it there. I did see some, it may have been yourself who had tweeted it around, some controversy that the top scorer in the Eredivisie, is it Tasos Duvikas, has not been selected. Is that confirmed? Or
This is the thing. We're nearly a week and a half away from the first game against you guys, Republic of Ireland. And there hasn't been, as far as I'm aware, there hasn't been an official release of the squad list.
It's very late.
Yes, and it's not unsurprising when it comes to Greek or Cypriot football, for that matter. What they did do, they released the names of the players that are from the domestic league that were called up. And the other big miss, which people are struggling to understand, is Kostas Fortunis, who plays for Olympiakos. He wasn't selected either. And Gus Poyet came out and gave his reasoning behind it, which was it was a stylistic decision. And he made comments about Fortunis' style of play not fitting what he wanted to see in the national team with primarily playing a 4-3-3. Mm-hmm. And I guess we can talk about that later on now if you prefer. But yeah, and then they, basically, as the domestic season ended for, in different leagues, more and more players who were going to be picked for the national team were picked up, like, you know, Kostas Tsimikas, who plays for Liverpool, has now officially been selected. But there wasn't ever a definitive squad list that's been released, unless they do that. They might do that immediately after this podcast ends. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
But Duvikas is a weird one because he is the Eredivisie top scorer and for his club Utrecht, and it's just a strange omission. He's not played consistently well for the national team. It's weird. With our strikers, we've seen that they've all been scoring consistently, like Pavlidis, also in Eredivisie for his Alkmaar team, Azad Alkmaar, and then Yakumakis, who was at Celtic and is now in the US with Atlanta United, and he's still scoring consistently there too. But there seems to be a big mental pressure that's put on them when they put on the Ethniki shirt, and it's a strange one. Bavigas is the same, but to not have him in the team despite being top scorer is a very strange decision by Poyet.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, I did see he was still playing until recently in the playoffs for the Europa League playoff in the Eredivisie. So I think that only finished over the weekend. His team were knocked out. So maybe it was just a delayed because he was still playing competitive football, but who knows? But like
yeah,
you say,
and look, these reports might change and he might be selected, but because nothing's officially confirmed. But from what some of the major news outlets were saying, and we tweeted about it afterwards as well, it doesn't look like he's being selected. So even though he has only just finished playing, it is a strange omission. Because, you know, Sure, if Poyet doesn't want to start players like Fortunis and Duvikas, then fair enough, that's his choice. But these are players who are in form at the end of their their domestic season with their clubs. So at least have them in the squad, you know, so that you have a plan B, because just not counting on them at all is a strange one. These are some of his best and most talented tools. So I think omitting them from the squad entirely is strange. But a lot of people feel the same way.
Yeah, so the Fortunis one, I heard yourself and George discussing this on your podcast. So George was very adamant that he should, if certainly not being an impact sub, he should be starting. You were probably more so thinking he should at least be in the squad. But can you give a bit of background on that? I mean, is there a clash there between himself and Poyet, or is Poyet just saying he just doesn't like the style of player that he is?
Look, I'm not going to say this isn't in verbatim, so if I misquote Poyet, then that's on me. He said it was one of the hardest 2-hour phone calls he's ever had with Fortunis to not select him. And you know, whether he's over dramatizing it or not, I don't know. But I think he does credit him for the play he is, and no one can deny the quality of Fortunis. In Greek football, people can be very people can be very spiteful of certain players who play for different clubs, especially Olympiakos. But with Fortunis, the fact that he has the respect of other fans, of other teams, despite the disdain of Olympiakos, shows the quality of Fortunis and how important he is for Greek football and the national team. I don't think that officially there is any disdain between the both sides. I think that Poyet genuinely believes that Fortunis wouldn't fit his system stylistically, because he doesn't play with a centre attacking midfielder. He plays with three centre midfielders and two wingers and one forward. But then the problem with what he said was, it's kind of contradictory to what Fortunis has been doing this season, because a lot of people have also made comments that Fortunis doesn't track back and he doesn't work hard enough in the defensive areas. But he has been doing that. He's been doing that more than he ever has since he's joined Olympiakos way back when. He was a youth player and then he played in Germany briefly and came back. And also there was the claim that he couldn't play in other positions, but that's not true either. For the vast majority of the season, he's been playing on the right wing, and he's been able to cut inside and contribute from there too. And he's also the Super League's he's the Super League's top assister this season with 10 assists. So there's nothing to sniff at, despite what people may say about the qualities of Greek football, that's still an impressive stat to have. So just to not have him in the squad, like I said on our podcast, to not at least have him in the squad is a really weird decision. Even if he doesn't fit you stylistically, you might as well bring him on, bring him with you, and then have him as a possible substitute to come on like half an hour if we need a goal against you guys. Because I will reiterate this later, I'm sure, beating you guys is a must. It's a must-win game for us, because we're unlikely to go to France and get anything. And if we do, we'll be very lucky. But we need 3 points against Republic of Ireland if we have any hope of doing anything in these qualifiers.
Yeah. Look, I suppose it's kind of similar for ourselves in that it's the omissions from the squad that tend to generate the most noise. And we've, for many years, we had a debate over a player called Wes Houlihan. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him.
Yes, very familiar.
He played at Norwich, and there was a debate for a long time of how underused, and I agreed with it, he was massively underused for Republic of Ireland. He was a brilliantly talented player, just the type of player that we very rarely have in Ireland. Brilliant at holding onto the ball, very creative, and he was criminally underused. But it sounds like the Fortunis situation is somewhat similar. But if Fortunis is not there, who will be the creative hub in the team for Poyet?
For the most part, what Poyet also said was, the other reason for not picking Fortunis is because he prefers a player like the captain, Dasos Bakasetas, who has been playing primarily in a centre-mid role as part of a midfield three. And he's not necessarily done the same things that Fortunis would do in terms of creating assists and playing more like a traditional number 10. But what he has got in his locker is a very good shot on him. So Bakasetas has been one of our main goal contributors ever since Poyet's come in, and he's been excellent. And Bakasetas is an interesting player, because he was much maligned as a player, by myself included, when we're under the previous manager, Jean Van Schip, because he was being played over players like Fortunis, like Mandalos as well, who's also a very good creator, who will probably as far as I'm aware, is fit to play for the national team as well. But he was much maligned because he was being played in a number 10 position, but not contributing at all to the team, and was almost detrimental to have him on the squad. And the moment he would be substituted, someone else would come on and do his job much better. So there was there wasn't a justification as to why he was being played and being given the captaincy role too. But as he's been, as once Poyet came in, Poyet seemed to see his find more use for him. And so ever since, he's solidified himself as captain. He's definitely a leader on and off the pitch. He, like I said, he's been scoring goals. So he's probably one of our biggest threats, if I was to name one right now.
Yeah.
And I've always joked to my friends, if ever, because of how much I criticized him before and now he's doing well, if we do qualify for the Euros, I will get a Bacasetas football shirt for the national team for certain.
Yeah, for a second there, I thought you were going to say tattoo. I think football shorts are
a bit more bearable. Yeah. But definitely a shirt. I'll pay the money for that.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So, look, we're discussing the squad, and I must say, I was looking through, it was earlier on in the group, we had played France, and you guys had beaten Gibraltar 3-0. And I had a look at your lineup that day, and I saw a name at right back, which I was very surprised to see, and it was George Baldock, who of course plays for Sheffield United, and he would have been one of the marauding wingbacks in Chris Wilder's Sheffield United team, which was promoted to the Premier League a few years back. He's still with them now. It's interesting to see the name like Baldock playing for Greece, but. How did he end up playing with Greece? Was it something that he had approached the Greek FA himself, or had they approached him? What's his connection with Greece and how he ended up there?
So Baldock has Greek heritage, I think, on his grandma's side, if I'm not mistaken. So that's why he's eligible to play for the national team. And I believe that, unfortunately, unlike at left back, where we have a plethora of players who can play there, like obviously there's Tsimikas, there's Giannoulis, who's at Norwich but might be leaving in the summer. You have a Gouliarakis as well. There's a few players who can play at left back, but at right back, we're not blessed with talent. I mean, outside of Baldock, I guess there's Lazaros Roda who plays for AEK, but not consistently. There's Godsiras as well, who's improved this season, but wasn't ever there or thereabouts in the squad. He probably will be. I think he's being called up again. It's uncertain with the squad at this point in time, but. Yeah, but Baldock came at a time where we really needed a right back, and he's a good one too. You know, he showed that when he was in the Premier League with Sheffield United, and even though when they went down, he was still seen as one of the top players there. And they've got promoted again this season. He's been very much a part of that. I think it took a long time for the Greek Football Federation to call him up as an official Greek international. And I think it might have been COVID might have contributed to that too, why there were a lot of delays. But also, the Greek FA are very slow with decision making in general. So I think there's that too. Without being too critical of the Greek.
Look, that might explain the squad selection or squad announcements as well.
Yes, but ever since he's joined, he's been very consistent, and he's got a lot of praise from the fans. And you know, he doesn't speak Greek as a native language, but there's always like cute little like YouTube videos that the Greek national team's official YouTube account has put, where he's talking to a proper Greek speaker from the team, and he's been trying to pronounce the words properly and stuff. But yeah, he's done a good job. He's not a long-term solution though, because he's already, I think, in his early 30s. So, but what he does bring now is a consistently solid, capable right back that Greece definitely need to balance the squad out a bit more. And we have to hope that the players like Godsiras and such, who are a bit younger, will be able to take on his role once he stops playing for the national team. But hopefully that's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so in terms of, we've just discussed the squad, but in terms of the expectations for the match, you kind of mentioned earlier, you're hoping that you'll win because you believe you need to win it if you have any chance of finishing in the top two. You're very strong at home, one defeat in the past 15 matches at home, which was against Spain. So, I mean, is your expectation that Greece will win this game?
Ireland, when I saw the draw, Ireland scared me more than any team in our group. Not because France and Holland, I don't see them as a threat. It's just those games are going to be very difficult to get anything from. I think my expectation with those two at best is that we get maybe scrape a win against against the Netherlands at home, because we're good. Mm. We are good at home, as you said.
Yeah.
But Ireland are a tough one, because that will determine whether we are good enough to even consider finishing in the top two. Because Greece's biggest problem hasn't been necessarily playing the bigger teams in qualifiers. It's been underperforming against the smaller teams. We've lost horrendously to some small teams that we should never have lost in the past. Like the worst one that still haunts me to this day is when we lost at home to the Faroe Islands. Oh, it was an absolute disgrace of a game. And then we lost to them away from home too in the same qualifying campaign as well for Euro 2016. And ever since, there's been times where we've just absolutely bottled it against small sides. Like we drew with Liechtenstein, which is horrendous. We've lost to Montenegro.
And we've all done that.
Yeah.
We had that back in the 90s.
I know you guys, obviously, that horrible defeat to Cyprus, which, you know, as a Greek Cypriot, I consider that as a great result. I'm sure you guys would think differently. Yeah. So obviously not to compare Republic of Ireland with those smaller sides, but again, even sides that we've been considered at a similar level, but we've struggled with too. So beating Ireland in both games is integral for us to have any hope of finishing in the top two. And I think the one expectation for me is if we don't qualify via the traditional way of qualifying from the top two, I want to see Greece at least try to the bitter end to get top two. Because at the end of the day, Holland and France are the favourites to finish top two out of any other team in the group. So if we finish strong and finish third, and look like we can go into the playoffs in good form, then that's what I want to see at the bare minimum. But if we end up finishing fourth behind you guys and look pretty average to below average to horrendous in these qualifiers, then I'm not confident we can get to Euro 2024. We could potentially face Turkey in the semi-finals, which isn't just a big game because Turkey are a decent footballing nation, but there's history between Greece and Turkey. So, and that makes the game all the more bigger. So, beating Ireland, especially at home, is hugely important for Greece.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, you've got that playoff to fall back on. At least you have that. We're still scraping around hoping that results and groups will go our way so that we can actually get a playoff if we don't make the top two. The one thing I would say, I suppose, is that the Netherlands looked pretty shambolic against France. Now, I know France away is obviously the toughest game in the group for everybody, but they didn't look great. It would give you some kind of hope, which, you know, it's the hope that kills you, but it would give you some kind of hope that you might, yourselves might be able to take something off them and maybe even turn it into a three-way fight for a second spot. But let's see. I think next Friday, I'm kind of leaning, as I generally find myself doing, towards a one-all draw.
That could very much happen too. I can definitely see that.
Some of that is more hope than expectation, but I think we're kind of similar level teams, and I think we've kind of settled on a squad and a generally a shape and a lineup that seems to work well for us. That would be my hope. But like I said, Greece are strong at home. In terms of the lineup, we expect, looking at some of the previous games under Payet, it seems it's 4-3-3 is what he favours.
Yes, that will be probably what he plays as well. I think the key players we'll almost certainly see there are, you know, Vlachodimos in goal, who's had a good season with Benfica. Mm-hmm. See, Mikas is a guaranteed starter at left back, almost certainly, despite the fact he doesn't get enough game time at Liverpool. Bakasetas, as I said, the captain, will definitely be there. Mavrobanos, who's had a good season with Stuttgart, despite the fact they are in the relegation playoffs currently with Hamburg, 3-0 up on aggregate, actually. He scored in the first minute of that game, ironically.
He was Arsenal, wasn't he? He was at Arsenal.
Yeah. He was previously at a club called Bas-Yanina. So it's a relatively smaller club in Greece, but a well-run one when it comes to Greek football, especially. I think if I'm not mistaken, he was Arsene Wenger's last ever signing.
All right.
So he came in to Arsenal, and I think the game that people recall him playing best in when he was given the opportunity was a 2-1 loss to Manchester United, where he came on and looked good despite the defeat. Yeah. But He wasn't rated very highly by Mikel Arteta, didn't really consider him to be an option. They were highly competitive position at centre-back, so he went to Stuttgart and has done a good job, and they signed him permanently. And now he was linked with Napoli a couple of months ago, because obviously their centre-back, Kim Min-jae, the South Korean international, like is more or less going to Manchester United. So he's a potential replacement. And I think he needs to go to a bigger club, because he's excellent. And he can definitely play at a level in which a club in Europe, like playing in European competition, would have him comfortably. Mm-hmm. So he's a definite starter for us.
And up front, do we expect Giakoumakis to start?
See, that again, it's a difficult one, because him and Pavlidis have been in good form for his clubs, but I don't think Poyet's ever fully settled on who he wants to start up. It could be either Pavlidis or Giakoumakis, because neither have ever consistently performed for the ethnic team. Maybe Pavlidis a little bit more, so potentially him, but it just depends on who he thinks will be best against you guys before playing before playing France. So expect either of them.
Okay. Finally, I suppose, could I push you for a prediction, a scoreline prediction? These are never good, because people can go back then and say, "Oh, you made a mistake," or you
know what?
It wrong.
If I make a mistake, I'll live and die on it. It's fine. I will say that Greece at home, it's going to be tough, because you've got some excellent forwards, you know, especially Evan Ferguson, who I rate very highly, and he's done well at Brighton. I'm going to say that we get a very slim 1-0 win.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, then that's completely fine, because you guys are good and have a good talented young players, I must say, as well. So I think what I would say with Ireland from my perspective is, if it's not this campaign, with the potential of your squad, definitely next campaign for the World Cup, I could see you guys doing something, providing you don't get an incredibly difficult group. Oh, and in the Nations League too.
I mean, we got the group of death this time around, I would say. So we're due a good group next time, hopefully. But let's focus on this one, and let's focus on next week's game. And hopefully it's a positive result for Ireland from my point of view, but we shall see. But Stephen, thanks a million for your time. That was excellent. And I hope people have learned a bit more about our opposition for next week. And as I said, you can find Stephen's work on the Hellas Football Podcast on Twitter. If you just search for them there, you'll find them. You'll find Stephen's personal Twitter there as well, if you want to link in with him. But thanks a million, Stephen, for your time. And we'll chat to you again soon.
Before we talk about the win, need to ask you about the statement that's just come out from the FAI, in which they've apologised to the player singing a song that references the IRA. Would you like to apologise?
I do, yeah. I don't believe in all that, like the Premier League and all, you know? Like, I follow Man United. We should be following our own side, yeah?
I guess it raises the question, that does it highlight the need for education on issues like this? Is that something you'd be for?
No, I might be getting into politics. You say, oh, we don't want the Queen over here. But yet they follow the Queen's football teams. It's actually a good point, you know what I'm trying to say?
How embarrassed are the players by this video?
It's just taking a break, you know, for next season, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I just think they're all hypocrites, like. But it should be all League of Ireland all the way. And, of course, Celtic.